I appreciate you guys being here. So my assumption would be that if you are here right now, it's because you want to learn how to help other people become disciples. Would that be the case?
Yeah.
Cool. So I'm not, you know, obviously able to know by looking at you where exactly you're experienced at in terms of that process of helping somebody go from a stranger or friend to being a fellow brother or sister in Christ. But, you know, I wanted to really just focus on a lot of basics and a lot of practicals. Are you guys okay with just a lot of practicals? That's stuff that I know was really helpful for me to learn as a young Christian. I became a disciple almost 7 years ago. It'll be 7 years in December. And my wife, who's unable to do the class with me right now because of our baby and taking care of him and stuff, who's 6 months old, he's awesome. She became a Christian about 10 years ago, and we met interning in the New York church in 2010. And yeah, so it's been 7 years, and I started working with the New Jersey region of the New York City Campus Ministry. And I immediately, as a baby Christian, just very passionately wanted to help other people find what I found. You know, I grew up religious, believing in God, going to church every Sunday, going to a youth group. It was very important to me. Yet, you know, I did not know sound doctrine. I did not live like a disciple at all, other than going to church on Sunday. So when I studied the Bible, it was actually, I basically studied almost all the way through in one night. You know, my friend just sat down with me, who was part of the Boston Campus Ministry. We had grown up together, and he went to BC for college. And late one night, after Thanksgiving dinner, we're hanging out, and he just takes me through almost everything. I mean, just studied the Bible with me that night. I realized I was lost. I wanted to get baptized that night. He was a young Christian himself, so he was like, all right, well, you know, sleep on this, and then tomorrow, I mean, you know, he's calling for advice, like, my friend wants to get baptized, what do I do? So that was very exciting. You know, the next day we did a couple more studies, and the next day we did one or two more. And then I drove up to Boston a couple days later and got with Kevin Miller, and we talked and stuff, and he kind of counted the cost of me, and I got baptized that night. So that was very exciting. It was all 6 days, you know, and it I just felt like I'd never seen anything like the church before. And I'd cried many times over the cross, and it was emotional, but I never like repented and lived. I thought discipleship was like just for the people in the Bible, you know, not for me. And when I realized that's what God wanted for everybody, it made me respect God more, which was cool. But it made me very excited about being a disciple and helping other people become disciples. And that kind of, from that night on, became what I realized was the most important thing that I could do with my life. Like, if I could help somebody's eternity be in heaven with God instead of in hell separated from God, what better thing could I do for someone, you know? What better thing could I do for God in response for his saving me? You know, like, these are his other lost children. And I'm grateful for being saved. I love you, God. So what better thing could we do for God than to go out and help give that to other people? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that was something I think, you know, I've had to fight to keep that heart for sure. But as a young Christian, that was there pretty strong. So, you know, just keeping that love you had at first, you know. But how many of you would say you're younger spiritually, like 2 years or less? All right, cool. So a lot of this is new to you, and that's good. And I would just say, and I'll share this more, but that just keeping your heart in the right place is just as important as all these practicals I'm going to give. It's got to be because you love God and you love people, and then that's why you do all of these things. But, you know, there's a lot of passages where Jesus sends us out. You know, Matthew 28:18, go make disciples of all nations. That's the title of this class, make disciples. That's what Jesus sent us to go do. Mark 1:17 says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So if we follow Jesus, which when we became disciples, that's what we did, he's going to make us fishers of men who are going to bring in other people, right? Acts 1:8 says, you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Isn't that cool? I mean, Jesus is like, you guys are going to go out to the ends of the earth, you know, and share the gospel. Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the charge that they were given, and they went for it. And this is the same charge that we're carrying today. You know, something that clicked for me recently that helped me a lot was when I read the book of Acts, when I read the New Testament, when I read the Bible, I see what God did through them. I see what God called them to do. To not separate myself from them and go, well, that's them, this is us. But to go, that is us, and we are them still. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, and that's been inspiring me lately is as I'm reading the book of Acts, not going, look what they did, going, look what we did. And then what are we going to do now, you know? Because it's the same God, same Holy Spirit, same mission they were sent on is what Jesus said to them is what he's saying to us. So that inspires me a lot. So I think we have been given an incredible mission as disciples of Jesus to go make more disciples of Jesus, to align other people with the hope that we have found, with an eternity in heaven that we have found. What an amazing mission that God has sent us on, isn't it?
Come on.
You know, and like I said, when I studied the Bible and understood the lostness of not only myself, but the majority of the world, and I understood what Jesus did on the cross, not just for me, but for them, I just realized there's nothing more valuable I could do with my time than to help somebody else become a disciple. So do you guys feel that way? Do you understand why that's true? I mean, you can give somebody $1 million, but if they die and go to hell, was it worth it? Yeah. You know, are they going to be like, hey, thanks. You know, I know you didn't reach out to me, but the $1 million really helped, you know? Mm-hmm. No, like at the end of somebody's life, knowing Jesus matters more than anything else. And we get to play part in bringing that to people. Yeah. You know, a passage that is going to kind of frame my entire lesson here is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And it says, Paul writes this, he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For we are co-workers in God's service. Co-workers in God's service, planting and watering the seed of the gospel to become salvation for others. You know, you've got to realize just how amazing it is that we get to take part, be co-workers with God in this divine mission of saving somebody's soul. Like, what an awesome job, you know? If you think of like whatever career you're pursuing and you think of one of the people that's highest up in that career and they said, I want you to work with me, to be my intern or to just come be on my staff, you would be fired up, you know? Now take the most important job there is, saving souls, and the guy at the head of it all, God, and he's saying, I want you to come do this work with me. Isn't that inspiring?
Yeah.
You know, I just got to step back sometimes and go, I can't believe what I get to play a part in doing, you know? And remember with humility, I plant and water, which is nothing. God's the one that makes it grow. But like a great father with his child, he's letting us help a little bit, you know? And gain a lot of purpose from that. Like it said there, our purpose. So that's awesome. God has made us his co-workers. And he's calling us to plant and water the word of God into others, and then he will make it grow. And I just want to encourage you to really connect with what a joy and honor it is to be invited into that. You know, how many of you want to one day walk through the gates of heaven and look around to see one person after another waving to you excitedly, running to you, thanking you and hugging you for inviting them to church, inviting them to Bible talk, for teaching them about Jesus, so they can now be there with God forever, tears running down their eyes. You know, do you guys want that?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what? That's what purposeful life is about, is getting to that point, you know? So, you know, I'm encouraged that there's a circle of people here that fought to find where this room was, because you want to help people become disciples. So that's inspiring to me. So what is our part? Planting and watering. So that's what a slew of practicals are going to be about, is how to effectively plant, how to effectively water. And just real quick before I get into that, I just want to frame that with all. So do you guys understand from this passage, our role is plant and water. We don't make it grow. Somebody gets baptized or not, that's God's part of the work. But whether somebody gets baptized or not is going to be prepared by whether or not we planted and watered.
Yeah,
so we've got to do our part if God is going to be able to do his part. So before we talk about specifically how to plant, how to water effectively, I just want you guys to know all effective planting and watering starts in your heart, starts in your mind before it's anything you're saying or anything you're doing. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, a passage that's been helpful to me with that is Matthew chapter 9. Honestly, just 7 years in the faith, and I just keep going back to this passage to motivate me and to help my heart and my mind to be in the right place. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. You know, it says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." All right, so we're following Jesus. And when we look at Jesus, we see that he just every day was going person to person, town to town, teaching, proclaiming the good news. And when Jesus looked at a crowd of people, he didn't get overwhelmed. Maybe he did. He was tempted and everything like we were. But he didn't let that stop him. He saw the crowds and then he was like, my gosh, these people are lost. These people are like sheep. We're just wandering through life without a shepherd. They're going to get eaten by wolves. They're going to get caught in the thickets. They're going to die. They need a shepherd. Jesus looked on the lost and had compassion on them. So when I say all planting and watering starts in our own heart and mind, to plant and water effectively, we need to be filled with compassion.
Yeah.
That needs to be in our heart. Compassion for the lost. Compassion. Yeah. You know, really putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes is compassion.
Yeah.
You've got to see that everyone is a lost, hurting sheep without a shepherd. Be grateful for what you have and have compassion for those who don't have it. Right? Not judgmental, not self-righteous, compassionate. Don't envy the world and people in it. Empathize with them, right? Sometimes we can envy the world, right? And kind of be jealous of what they've got going on. We shouldn't envy the world. We should empathize with the world. Man, they're lost. Yeah. They need what I have. I don't need what they have. You know, the Bible says, love your neighbor as yourself. If you were lost, if you knew that you were going to hell, would you want someone else who knew how to not go to hell to talk to you? You know, talk about loving your neighbor as yourself, right? I mean, sharing your faith is probably the greatest practice of loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, so I just want to encourage you, be filled with compassion. You know, that'll drive you to plant and water. Love people because they deserve it, just like you deserve to be loved, right? Love people because you love God and you know God loves them enough to die for them just as much as he was willing to die for you. You know, sometimes I look at people and I have to remind myself, God loves them just as much as he loves you, Rob. Like, you know, when I start to be envious or I start to be critical or judgmental even, reminding myself, Jesus died for him just as much as he died for me, you know? And I got to love them the way that I want to be loved. So I should share with them. You know, so if we love them from our heart, we'll share with them from our mouth, right? So out of overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right?
Yeah.
So Jesus said that. So if we have love for the lost in our heart, that'll come out through our mouths and we'll share our faith with them. So if you feel like you're prevented from sharing a lot by fear or different things like that, if you could replace that fear with love, then out of the overflow of your heart, you will share with them. All right, so be filled with compassion. I said start in the heart and in the mind. So the second thing here is, aside from being filled with compassion, is believing the harvest is plentiful.
Yeah.
So in your heart, compassion. In your head, believing the harvest is plentiful. There are people who will become disciples.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a baby Christian, I got to fight so hard to get that faith back because I just had like almost, I was more surprised when I studied with somebody and they didn't get baptized than when they did.
Yeah.
Like, I just felt like, and I mean, I shared with you, I studied in 6 days. So I was kind of like, how would you say no to this?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, how can you not see it? Look, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin.
Yeah.
But aside from it, it was like, do you see what Jesus did for you? Like, when people said no and people didn't become disciples, I was more, now I feel like after 7 years, my faith is more surprised when people make it than when people don't make it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think pure, genuine, sincere faith is more believing what Jesus said than what our experiences tell us, right?
Mm.
Really believing, no, the harvest is plentiful because Jesus said so.
Mm.
You know, so you're not gonna be a great worker if you don't believe the job can get done, right? If you get hired for something, you're like, no way we're moving all this in one day. You're probably not gonna get it done. But if you get hired and they're like, move all this today, you're like, oh, absolutely, we can do it. You're probably going to get it done, you know? Yeah. So if we're hired by God, right, to plant water, we've got to believe this job can be done. Like, we can do this. The harvest is plentiful. There's people who will become disciples. So, you know, the truth is most won't. The road is narrow, right? But there's 7 billion people in the world. A few of 7 billion is still a lot of people, you know? Yeah. So most won't, but there's a lot who will. The harvest is plentiful. So I'd encourage you just to really do some reflection of where's your faith at in terms of believing the harvest is plentiful. Mm. You know, and even though you've heard no so many times or seen so many people walk away, do you believe those experiences more than you believe Jesus? Mm. For me, that's challenging. I got to keep fighting to believe Jesus more than I believe my experiences.
Yeah.
And there is a truth that's very sobering to me that I'll share with you in a little bit that helps my perspective as well. But I think something that's helped me is just knowing that the harvest is plentiful. The problem is not open people. The problem is closed mouths.
Mm.
Right? Mm. The workers are few. There's a lot of open people, but what there's not a lot of is people who are going to go share their faith with them. And that's what I see today as well, right? You know, we've got to be those few workers who have compassion and who believe the harvest is plentiful. And like our first century brothers and sisters, we do something about it. Amen?
Amen.
So, you guys cool with a bunch of practicals on planting and watering?
Sure.
Cool. So I'm going to share a bunch off of what I've seen work and not work, or seen work and not work in other people's lives. I will give a disclaimer that everything I'm going to share with you, I do not do perfectly all the time. So this is like what my own advice to myself is that I aim for as I try to do this stuff. But, you know, over time, as you experience more sharing your faith and following up with people and all that stuff, you're going to figure out what's effective, what works for you. And that's great to learn from your experiences. I've also learned that as long as I do something, God can do something, you know? Yeah. So it's not so much about how I did it, what I did, but just I did something, you know? And God could work through that, even if you said something dumb or you look back, you're like, why did I say that? Yeah. Like, they could still become a Christian. It's okay. Like, God is more powerful than that one sentence you said, you know? Yeah. So I've had to remind myself of that a lot. But so we're not going to do all this stuff perfectly. Even if we don't do this stuff, we could still help people become disciples. But with that being said, I still think that the lost deserve us trying to figure out how we could give them the best shot they've got. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I wouldn't want to just walk in a room and go, hey, if anybody wants to come to Bible Talk, come check it out. And walk away going, well, job was done there. Hey, somebody could, I would imagine getting up here and saying, you know, somebody was really just lacking in faith one day. They walked in a room, quietly, casually said that. This one guy overheard it. He came in the room, studied the Bible, and became... Does that sound like a story that could really happen?
Yeah.
Right? And once again, that's because God will work through even things that maybe weren't the best thing to do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that person shouldn't have thought, well, maybe there's a more effective way for me to communicate to this room. Because maybe there would have been more people that want to make it, you know?
Yeah.
So, kind of two sides of this. God will still work through our mistakes and shortcomings. But on the flip, we should always be learning how to be more effective.
Yeah, come on.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, planting the seed, some practicals for sharing your faith. So, I mean, I don't want to get too much time into this, but just always pray. Just always pray. God, lead me to somebody open. Help me meet someone today who will become a disciple. You know, just praying for the people that you meet. Lead me, and then each person you meet, having that faith, this might be the person I prayed for, you know? But just really believing this is a spirit-led thing. Evangelism is being led not by us, but it's being led by the Spirit. Keep sharing your faith as spiritual as you can. Like, keep the Spirit in mind. Like, God is going to use my words. It's not about what I said. God is going to arrange the person. God is going to... Just giving God all of the pressure that you feel, all of the responsibility you feel other than being the one to open your mouth. You know, like, just put all that on the Spirit. Put all that on God. It's amazing when we do that, and we're just faithful the way he works, you know? I think a really cool example of this is in our New Jersey group, we have these two Bible talks, one at a school, William Patterson, one at a school, Montclair. And the brothers at William Patterson invited this guy out, came to Bible Talk for a few times, studied the Bible, had a few studies, and then kind of just, for whatever reason, said he didn't want to study anymore and stopped. And then about a year goes by, he graduates, moves on. We don't know this. I haven't kept in touch with him or anything. He stopped responding. And then he applies to grad school over at Montclair, where we have a Bible talk. Don't know this at all. So the group over at Montclair has their Bible talk, and one of the William Patterson brothers was helping out with that Bible talk. So he goes once a week for about an hour to help share his faith before Bible talk and kind of help spearhead that Bible talk. So they go, they share with this guy the second week of the semester last fall. And the guy's like, you know, I'm honestly not interested, but I have a friend who really would be. So he's like, let me call him right now and see if he wants to come, because the Bible talk was in like 30 minutes or whatever. So he calls his friend. The friend answers like, I'm actually in my car about to leave, but yeah, I'll come. Turns his car off, comes to Bible talk. It's the guy that studied the Bible back at William Patterson. His name's David. David comes, sees Matt there, who he remembers from the Bible talk and studying with him back at William Patterson, and is like, no way, you know? So David studied the Bible that semester and got baptized. So a year later, and I just am like, that's all, like, God is just the one doing this. He's arranging the times and places. He's orchestrating it. David got baptized, and he wasn't even the person that they shared their faith with that semester. Like, they shared with somebody else, which just tells me it's really not about us, what we do, who we talk to. It might even be them. It just might be somebody else, you know? So that helps me remember this is all being run by God, you know? And just keeping that spiritual mindset helps take the pressure off and helps my faith to be bigger. Like, anything could come out of this, you know? I was part of InterVarsity before I became a disciple. Well, Campus Crusade. And not super involved, but like I went every week for a few months. And after I got baptized, I stopped going. And you know, I wanted to communicate to them that I wasn't gonna be there anymore. So for the first meeting, I showed up early and I was gonna tell the leader I wasn't gonna be coming anymore. And I was starting my own Bible talk at my community college. And nobody was there. Nobody was showing up. It was time to start. They still weren't there. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just leave a note. So I jotted down, hey, it's Rob. I'm not going to be part of Campus Crusade this semester. However, I will be hosting my own 30-minute Bible discussion every Thursday, 1 o'clock, whatever, in the Student Center. If you'd like to announce this, if anyone wants to come. Left it on the table in this empty room, walked away. The next week, a guy shows up who's like, yeah, I went to Campus Crusade. Nobody was there. I saw your note. So I came here. He studied the Bible, and he was the first person that I got to baptize as a baby Christian, you know? So I was just like, wow, like, I didn't even talk to him. Nobody was even there. I just left a note on the table, you know? And that just helps me see this is so much more spiritual than it is about us. Does that make sense? So I just want to encourage you with that, that sharing your faith is so much more spiritual than it is anything else. Now, that doesn't mean you don't be a worker, right? We've got to share our faith. We've got to follow up. But it's not going to work if we're not believing the Spirit's the one making it work. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And that's what we see in 1 Corinthians. So, you know, make the most of every opportunity is a great practical for sharing your faith.
Yeah.
Make the most of every opportunity. Colossians 2, 5, 6 says, be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Right? So, meaning like, try to figure out how to be wise. Like, do your best here in this. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Wow.
You know, every single day, opportunities to share our faith present themselves. You know, maybe there's days where you don't leave your house and you'd say, well, I didn't interact with anybody today. Well, maybe you should have. Okay, maybe you were sick or something. Well, nowadays with social media, you could just kind of interact with anybody, you know? I know a brother, David De Los Santos, that just left a year ago to lead the church in Sri Lanka, which is a country, you know, island off the continent, off the country of India. And, you know, the church when they got there was about 20, and the first year it's grown to over 60 already.
Wow.
I mean, this dude is just so faithful and hardworking. But there's an island of Sri Lanka itself where owning a Bible is illegal. So he can't get there, it's far away, he's got a lot to do in his own, but he's like, but we gotta reach these people there. So he spends some time during his week going on Facebook, looking on Facebook for people who live there and just cold contact messaging them on Facebook. Hey, I'm part of a church in Sri Lanka over here. I know you live over on that island. Do you have any interest in learning more about God and the Bible? I mean, cold contact via social media. These are complete strangers just getting Facebook messages from this guy, you know? But I'm just saying that to say, in the world we live in, we are not devoid of opportunities. Yeah. You know, there is every day waiters, people to check out, gas station attendants, people on campus, sit next to us in the library, sit next to us in class, our family members. Like, every day, there are people we can talk to about God. So it's not a lack of opportunity, right? So what we got to do is see the opportunities and then figure out, how can I make the most of it? And obviously doing nothing is not making the most of it. Once you've opened your mouth and said something, now God has free range to do anything, which is awesome. So make the most of every opportunity. Have a mindset that every person you interact with, sit by, walk past, may be a person that God aligned with your path to become a disciple. Mm. You know, now, do you think you'll ever be able to literally remember that and think that with every single person you walk past, interact with? Maybe, probably not. But if you're trying to think that way more, do you think you're more likely to share your faith with somebody?
Yeah.
I mean, how many of you have been in a situation, this happened to me the other day, I'm working on my midweek lesson in the school library. This dude sits at the table across from me, and I'm like, you're going to have to share your faith with him. I thought that in my head, you know?
Yeah.
10, 15 minutes go by, I'm done, it's time to leave. I'm like, you have to, like, you can't not share with this guy. He sat down at your table. And I'm packing up my stuff, and in my head, I'm like, come on, Rob, share with this guy. I don't know why, I just was like clammed up, like I was nervous. Like, this is awkward, it's quiet in here, he doesn't know me, you know? And it forced me to do it, you know? And he's like, I've actually been invited 3 times to the Alpha Omega Bible Talk already, and I'm not interested right now, but thanks for inviting me, you know? I was like, amen, and I walked away, right? But it was just like, I felt like it was a victory, though, for me, because... Yeah. No, but I know that because it was on my mind to share with him. Now, there's certainly been times where I had that internal battle going on, and I decided not to, and I just walked away. I do that a lot, you know? Yeah. But I know that because I got that battle going on, I am more likely to do it, you know? Now it's just a matter of winning that battle through prayer and courage, really. You know, it's just doing it. You're never, honestly, maybe you will. That's not me. In 7 years, however many thousands of people I've shared my faith with, I'm still afraid to do it. Like, I almost never get to campus and get out of my car like, I've done this before. Like, I have to remind myself, Rob, you've done this before. You haven't even been hit yet. Like, people are dying. You know, like, just go talk to people. So, I just want to let you know, you're probably never going to not be afraid if you are afraid. Maybe you will one day. I hope you lose your fear. But you might not, you know, and it's just being willing to obey God even if you're afraid. Just open your mouth and say something, and then it never really goes that bad where we live anyway. Like, it's like, there's no worst that's going to happen here, you know? So, you know, just that mindset, okay, like, this person, this is an opportunity. Viewing every interaction as an opportunity, I bet you'll share with more people. Don't you think so? You know, so I just encourage you to think that way. I think it will help you. So you're thinking about it. What do? Kind of like what I was saying, just initiate a conversation. Just say something. Once you say something, it's amazing how probably more than 50% of the nerves can just go away. Like, you just broke the ice. That's over with. You said something, you know? So if you just get yourself to go, hey, what are you working on? You know, or... Hi, I don't know if, you know, you've been invited before. Just say something, you know, initiate. Jesus was always initiating conversations with people. You know, hey, could you get me some water to drink? You know, like, he knew he was going to talk to her about other stuff, but he's like, well, he was thirsty, so he wasn't being deceitful, but, you know, hey, could you get me some water? You know, in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well, and just initiating conversations and then turning it spiritual. So start off talking about, hey, what are you studying? What are you working on? Or, hey, what year are you here? Or, you know, maybe you could rack your brain for something that you've been trying to figure out and go, hey, do you know where I could go to get signed up for that? I don't know. Just some sort of, and then figure out how, okay, now I started the conversation. How can I turn it spiritual, right? Like, hey, I am part of a campus ministry here. Do you believe in God? Or would you like to grow in your relationship with God or get to know God better? Just figuring out, initiate the conversation, and then turn it spiritual. One way to initiate a conversation is just to ask them a question. You know, kind of like I was saying, if you can't think of something to say, just ask a question. Hey, what's your name? Cool, I'm Rob. I wanted to invite you. Like, just once you break that ice, You guys, have you done this before? You just find it's a lot easier once you break that ice of just saying something.
Yeah.
So just remember that and just get something out of your mouth. Turn every conversation into an opportunity. So even if you're not the one that initiated it, like somebody else initiates a conversation with you, you take control of that thing and turn it into sharing your faith with them. You know, hey, you know, I was glad I could help you with that. I wanted to actually invite you to something too, you know, or just even conversations you didn't initiate, you know, and, turning every conversation into an opportunity. I got gas a few weeks ago, and while the guy was filling it, because I live in New Jersey, so they do it for you, which is awesome. I turned to the guy and I'm like, hey, do you know how much far, I was driving somewhere, and I was kind of curious how much farther I had to go. I was like, do you know how much farther it is to get to this road? And he told me or whatever. And I'm trying to remember the whole conversation right now. But I was like, oh, cool. I was like, hey, so you look pretty young. Are you in high school or college? He's like, oh, I'm in high school. I was like, oh, cool. Where do you go to high school? He's like, oh, I go to Clifton High School. I'm like, dude, my church meets every Sunday in the Clifton High School auditorium.
Wow.
And we weren't even in Clifton. This is like a town like 20 minutes away. He's like, get out of here. He's like, I had no idea. And I'm like, dude, Sunday morning, you should come down to your school. We're in the we're in the auditorium. And yeah, I haven't seen him there yet. But, you know, like just turning, I planted the seed, you know, like turning. Maybe when he walks past the auditorium every morning, now he's like, a church meets in there. Maybe he's told other people. Did you know a church meets in our auditorium? You know, I don't know. But just, you get a conversation going and then be like, how could I turn this into an opportunity? Does that make sense? As you're talking to people, I try to just, God, let the Spirit come out through me. Like, let this person not feel like they just interacted with me, but like this was an interaction with the Spirit. What do I mean by that? The fruits of the Spirit. Just really letting those come out through you while you're sharing your faith with people. Like being loving, being kind, being joyful. You know, like the fruits of the Spirit, letting people see patience, gentleness, self-control, power, you know, the authority that Jesus spoke with come out through you. You know, people will be attracted to the Jesus that they'll see coming out of you. And sometimes we share our faith, or I see people share their faith, and they seem like they're bored about what they're inviting people to. And the Spirit is probably grieved in there, you know, like, man, this is exciting, you know? And just really letting the Holy Spirit come out through you, I think, is going to help make the most of that opportunity. Somebody will be drawn to you through that. So with all of that, just trying to connect with people and be relatable, be personable, that's all something I'm trying to keep in mind with finding out, just getting to know the person a little bit and finding out what they're studying and connecting with them helps a lot. So, you know, make the most of every opportunity, initiate conversations, and turn every conversation into that opportunity. Does that make sense?
Amen.
Cool. The one thing I want to say about that before I move on to the other part here is we've got to learn to shake the dust, right? Like Jesus says, if you enter a town, somebody doesn't accept your words, shake the dust and move on. You know, we hold on to way too much that people, you know, like they keep hearing no after no. We like make it about us and get all discouraged. And it's like, look, God, I'm doing this for you. They said no, not fired up about that, but I'm doing this for you, so I'll keep going, you know? I've had to learn, Ron, don't let somebody else's no stop you from hearing another person's yes.
Yeah.
You know, if I stop sharing with people because I've heard 4, 5, 10, 15 no's, that might stop me from finally hearing that 25th person that was going to say yes, you know? So what if I had invited them first? Would I just have kept going, you know? Mm-hmm. So don't let any amount of no's become your no to God, you know? You know what? Even if I hear 100, 1,000 no's, I'm going to keep going until I hear a yes, or maybe I'll never hear one, you know? So just keep going, shake the dust. You know, I know that you guys, I know what it's like where you're at, but I know where we are, culture is changing. People, you know, a lot of people can't just go to college and that's their full-time gig anymore. Like, hey, I dorm here, I go to class, and then I'm free all the time. I mean, a lot of people work, you know, and I know that's probably you guys are. You've got classes, you've got to study, you've got meetings of the body, and you've got a job, other responsibilities at home and different things like that. And I know sometimes it could be easy just for sharing your faith to just get pushed out because of how busy you are. right? And some of what Matt's been saying is, you got to look at your life and go, is there something I could cut out or cut back so that I'm not investing in the kingdom, you know? So do that, you know, really. Is there somewhere I could open up time? But even after you do that, you might still find like, I barely have time. And I get that. I feel that. I feel like, man, I have a child now. I've got so much on my plate with leading the whole New York campus ministry, this New Jersey group, the people I disciple, and, you know, taking care of the home I live in and all this stuff. I can feel like, when am I going to share my faith with people sometimes? And what it's come down to is just really prioritizing it and deciding this is getting in there some way or another. Like, even if it's just 30 minutes on my way to that study earlier, I'll get to campus, or that 1 hour I have between classes, maybe instead of sitting down and eating lunch, I'll just throw something down quick, and instead of eating lunch for 45 minutes, I'll go share my faith for 45 minutes. You know, like, just really wanting to do it so much so that you make sure it's part of your life.
Yeah.
You know, you've just got to want to make disciples so badly that even if you only have a little bit of time, you make sure you make that time to go share your faith. You know, and what's great is God doesn't work in our world where it's like, well, if you put in 10 hours, then more can happen than if you only put in 2 hours. Mm-hmm. You know, the way God works is if somebody only has 2 hours and they give those 2 hours, he could do more through that person than somebody who's got 10 hours and gives only 6 of them. You know, that's how God works, right? We know about when Jesus saw the woman put in her 2 pennies, and that was all she had. And he said, she put in more than everybody else who put in all their money, all that other money, you know, because she gave out of her poverty. So I want you to almost view your time, if you don't have much of it, as an area that you're poor in, right? And go, you know what, God, I've tried to cut stuff out. You know that. And you know that I've got to take these 5 classes. I have to work 20 hours a week because of X, Y, and Z. I have to do these responsibilities. But God, I want to make disciples. All I've got is that 1 hour Monday, this 30 minutes over here Tuesday, and that 45 minutes Thursday. That's all I've got. Can you please do something amazing with that?
Yeah.
You know, and then just go faithfully and use that time and make the most of it. You know, there was a William Patterson, like I was saying, three years ago, we did not have a Bible talk there. We had 1 or 2 sisters going there, no brothers, no Bible talk. And I realized we've got to have a Bible talk there. But I was already leading another one at our bigger school and helping out with another one. And I just felt like I have no time to be there. And, you know, Steve Stevenson, who was discipling me at the time, he's like, bro, if you could just find 1 hour a week to go over there, and you really believe God can do something, I bet you something will happen. And I was like, all right, I'll do it. And I really felt like, what, like, I don't have time to build a Bible talk over here, you know? So I just went 1 hour a week, just, God, please, like, don't let this be a waste of time, you know? And the second week, I was on my way onto campus for that 1 hour sharing. And honestly, most of the time, this was all by myself. Like, there was just the 1 or 2 other sisters who could join me sometimes, but a lot of times I was just alone. And it was discouraging. And I just was like, raw faith, God, do something through this, please. I met this guy, Charles. And Charles seemed really open. I even wrote a note on his contact, like, seemed really open, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I follow up with him the next day. We set up a study for 2 days later. He gets baptized 16 days from that day I shared with him.
Wow.
Right? Charles comes in. I don't know if you know Charles DeVal, but he's an intern in the New York City church now. He helped within that same semester, 2 guys he brought out got baptized. And then we've had a full-fledged Bible talk of we've got 20 visitors there every week now, Bible talk. You know, like, we've got a full-blown Bible talk there that Charles built. Now he doesn't even go there anymore. He transferred. And now he started a Bible talk at a school that didn't have one that now has 10 people at it, you know? And it's just like, wow, like, I went for 1 hour a week, and not because of that 1 hour, but because of what God can do through even just a minute. Look what's happened, you know? And that's just something I want to put out there to you guys. If you feel like you've got very little time, just make the most of that time. You know, you got to look at, am I playing video games too much?
Yeah.
Am I doing more? Am I working more than I have to? Like, is it just because I want more clothes, or I want more? Could I cut back 5 hours a week or 4 hours a week, you know, or something? But if you really can't, then you still got to look at your life and go, well, I can't just not obey the Great Commission. I've got to do this somewhere. But really believe that whatever time you've got to work with, God can do something through it. So isn't that cool? I think that's really inspiring. So, you know, make the most of the opportunity. Really believe God could work through whatever time you got. You know, I want to share about getting the contact. I feel like it's so important that when we share with somebody, that we try to connect with them and try to, if they're open or if they're interested, get their phone number from them. You know, get their contact info from them. You can't water a seed that you have no idea where it is. Yeah. You know, I shared with this guy today. Who? His name was Rick. Well, I gave him my card. Okay, cool. Hopefully he calls you, you know? Like, if you could get their number, here's the thing. When I give somebody my number, I know that they might contact me. Somebody gives me theirs, I can control, I definitely will contact them, you know? So getting somebody's contact is an important part of planting and watering. Cards are good. I always have cards with, not always, I try to have cards with me. But I don't just take them out, because then people are like, oh, I'll just take the card, you know? And then I never hear from them, you know, versus getting their number, which a lot of those people you never hear from anyway, but there's a better chance. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say here. We're trying to figure out, well, what's going to work best? Getting somebody's contact info is going to work better than if they just have yours, right? Yeah. Now, if they're not willing to give you their number, they don't seem that interested, be like, hey, well, you know, if I talk to somebody and they're like on the fence, and I'm like, would you want me to get your number and remind you every week about it? And they're like, not really. Then I'll be like, all right, well, take this card, keep it somewhere, and if you ever change your mind, call me, you know? But that's kind of my, like, last resort versus, here's my card, call me if you're interested, you know? Does that make sense?
No, yeah.
So I just find getting their contact. Now, I've had to learn, you know, when you end up having 15, 20, 30, 50 people's phone numbers, you got to have some sort of organization to it, you know? Mm-hmm. So I primarily work at Bergen County College and Montclair State University. So everybody I meet there, I put MSU in front of their name. Everybody I meet over there, I put BCC in front of their name. You know, and then after their name, I'll write an S if they were really interested in studying, or if they just want to come to Bible talk, I'll write a B, right? Or whatever, so that when I'm following up with them, I can be very effective in my follow-up. Hey, you said you wanted to get together for a study. When can you do that this week? Hey, just wanted to remind you, the Bible talk is this day, this time, you know? So it's all in one place on my phone, and then, you know, I could just go through them quickly and send them, copy and paste the same message to all the BT people, same message to all the S people. Does that make sense? You know, so just gonna have some sort of organization, some notes that's gonna help you to follow up in a great way. You know, I'll say a little bit more about follow up, but the majority of this is basically just planting. But, you know, I just wanna encourage you, just keep going even if people are saying no, you know, and if people aren't becoming disciples. Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing what is good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, as we said earlier, the harvest is plentiful. And here's what has convicted me, is I think sometimes we unfairly think the harvest is not plentiful because we think we shared with a lot of people when really we didn't, you know? And that's been a sobering reality for me. You know, and the New Testament standard was reach everyone, preach the gospel to all creation. If they knew there was 200,000 people in the city and they shared with 100 of them, do you think they walked away feeling like, yeah, we reached everyone? They would know, man, that was like day one, you know? I mean, Jesus in a parable said, go to the street corners and invite everyone you find, you know? So at MSU, there's 20,000 students. If I share my faith with 200 people, I typically walk away feeling like I shared with a lot of people. 200 people is just about 1% of the people that go there. Now, if I said, oh, I only shared with 1% of the people, does that seem like a lot? You know, so sometimes we think the harvest is not plentiful. When it is, it's just that we haven't honestly just lived up to the biblical standard of sharing with more people, you know? We've got to do that together as a Bible talk, but even just ourselves, just really pushing ourselves every day, just sharing with that one person, that two people, and over the course of a semester, you're going to share with a ton of people. And then you've got right before Bible talks and different times where obviously you share with a lot more than just those one or two people. But, you know, planting seeds is probably the most important part of planting and watering because it gets the ball going. But once you've planted the seed, you've got to water it. Follow up with people. You know, that's just sitting down, honestly, every week, being disciplined, having that self-control. I just want to encourage you. to follow up with the people you met. Sit down, call them, text them at least. Just follow up with them. Ask them to study, invite them, but water the seed. The seed won't grow unless God does it, but it also won't grow if it's not watered, right? So if you spend all of this time sharing your faith, if you spend all this time denying yourself, working up the courage to share your faith with somebody, but then you don't follow up with them, you just wasted all of that time, effort, and energy, right? Like, what is the goal? The goal is to make disciples, right? And we've got to remember, the goal is not to share our faith. The goal is not to get somebody to Bible talk. The goal is not to set up a study. The goal is to make disciples. So don't share your faith with somebody and then have the mindset like, all right, I'm done now, right? Don't bring somebody to Bible talk and then think, okay, I'm done now, right? What's the goal? Is to help them become a disciple. So just view those things as steps of that process along the way. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So once you've planted the seed, please water them. That's both important parts of the job, right? So follow up, sit down, go through that list, text or call, invite those people to study the Bible, invite those people to church, to Friday night, to Bible talk, whatever they said they were interested in coming to. And then, you know, on top of that, you've got to have some discipline to make sure, well, you know when you're free to meet up for the studies and all that sort of stuff and pulling other people into them. But, you know, that's all stuff you'll learn through experience. But, you know, we're going to close out here. But I hope this was some helpful stuff for you guys. Starts in the heart. Be filled with compassion. Starts in the mind. Believe the harvest is plentiful. And know this is a spiritual thing. God is going to make it grow. He's going to do his thing. But we've got to open our mouths. We've got to plant the seeds and we've got to water them. And if we do that, the Bible promises God will make it grow. And you will help people become disciples. And I want to encourage you to dream big. Imagine the end of your life again. And not just helping one, two, but imagine helping 50, 100, 1,000 people become disciples. And if it is just one or two, then praise God. If you gave everything you got, then that's what God wanted to do through you, then that's awesome. But just dream big and really have a prayer and a heart of, God, help me save as many as possible. Amen?
Amen.
So thanks for coming and being here. I hope this was helpful and would love to talk more, but we got another class coming in here. Thanks, you guys.